Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wednesday night edition of The Grueling Truth. I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster, and as always, I want to welcome in the guy I just like to call it a four. Means he's a little bit arrogant and stuff, my co-host, Matt Andrew Scavage.
Why, thank you for that lovely intro, Mike. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm here for. But you're a 49er fan, so I figure since we're having a debate tonight, you know, there's got to be good versus evil. Since I'm the Bengal fan, you're the Niner fan, I get to be good, and of course you're evil.
I'll take it. Evil wins championships.
Yeah, well, when you circumvent the salary cap constantly, yeah, evil wins championships.
Oh, here we go, salary cap.
But, well, hey, really, last night we had our first boxing show with Tim Witherspoon. Next Tuesday night we'll have Donnie Lalonde on. You can get all the shows on the Grueling Truth Facebook page. Like I said, the first 30 minutes of our show will be live tonight. Last 15 minutes, if there will be a last 15 minutes, if me and Matt hadn't beat each other up over the phone, you can get that at the top of the hour on a podcast. Tomorrow night, our special guest will be Todd Stussy. He has a app called Scout Site, which is really a great app. He sent it to me a couple days ago. I don't think it's been released yet, but it's supposed to be released towards the end of this week. We will actually demo the app on the show tomorrow night. We'll have Todd in to talk about the draft, his opinion on the offensive linemen. Then next Wednesday night, we'll have former Pro Bowl running back from the Atlanta Falcons, Gerald Riggs, who also scored two touchdowns in the last game he ever played, which was Super Bowl 26 against the Buffalo Bills. So that brings us to tonight, where we have no guests because Matt wanted to argue with me because it's been a while since we've argued. And so I let Matt pick the topic, and his topic was the top 10 wide receivers ever because, you know, he's a 49ers fan and he wants to get a plug in for Jerry Rice. So we'll go ahead and we'll start off.
Well, actually, the real question, if you're going to be honest, was, hey, Mike, since we're in agreement of who number one is, who's 2 through 10?
Well, this is the thing, though. We may not be in agreement on what number one is. You may just be assuming a little bit too much.
Well, I'm just going based on former conversations, but you know how you change your opinion from week to week, so.
Well, yeah, I change my opinion from day to day because the only way you get better in life is if you're willing to change. You're unwilling to change because you're a 49er fan. And I will bring up the fact of this.
You should see my notepad for this list. It has so many crossing off. I'm very willing to change.
Well, see, this is the thing. You're a 49er fan, so you come in prepared. Me as a Cincinnati Bengal fan, I called Mike Brown, and I said, Mike, how do I do this? He said, you take a dartboard, put 30 names on it, close your eyes, and throw 10 darts. The 10 darts that hit, those are the 10 people. So then I put them in a hat, those 10, and I drew them out. I do it daily, so I get a different top 10 each time.
So this is great. At least we know the difference now between my team and your team. One team is prepared. The other team throws darts to figure out.
Yeah, one team has been to the playoffs the four straight years. The other one fired a coach that got him to the Super Bowl and didn't make the playoffs last year, and they hired a guy that's never been a head coach. He's an offensive line coach, and your team will be in last this year, and my team will be in first again. Of course, we will lose that playoff
game. But I'm not saying that our organization's perfect either.
Okay, well, you always said it was. They haven't been near as good as since they stopped cheating, but we'll get off that topic. The topic's the top 10 wide receivers. What was your criteria for picking the top 10?
Oh, man. Well, I struggled between about four or five of them. Basically, you obviously have to go by a lot of statistics because, you know, you can always make the argument, well, the great ones had the great quarterbacks. Well, of course. So I'm not even addressing that. You have to include statistics. I wanted to go across eras because I wanted to take a look at which players dominated their eras. I think it's fair to go across time with some of this stuff. I wanted to at least consider all of the top receivers from each of the last eight decades. And then basically I wanted to go with big games, you know, Pro Bowls. There was a lot of stuff. So it was kind of a mishmash between all of those things. What was yours?
I already told you, the dartboard.
You really think it, so that means yes. Chad Johnson really is your number one receiver.
No, because he wouldn't have made my top 30 to put it on there. You can't bring up Chad Ochocinco or whatever you call him. We Bengal fans turned on him about 2006, so
are
he's not even considered in the conversation.
30 Bengals better than Chad Johnson?
30 NFL wide receivers, but there's been better ones.
Okay,
Chris Collinsworth was better than Chad Johnson. Chris Collinsworth was a heck of a wide receiver.
He was.
Plus, I mean, you can't overlook the fact he was a white guy that ran a 4.4 40 and played wide receiver in the NFL.
That is true. Those are rare breeds.
There you go. He wasn't just a slot receiver like a Wes Welker. But now, I went and I looked at stats. Some guys have stats so big that you can't ignore them. And then you've got other guys that, you know, if you played in the 60s or 70s and you had 400 or 500 receptions, to me that's the same as probably having 800 or 900 a day for your career. Just because it was a different game, it was more of a vertical passing game. I mean, you look at the guys back
right.
then, they don't have as many receptions, but most of those guys, yards per catch, blow out the guys that are playing today. You know, you didn't have all the hitches and the quick slants. I mean, it was basically a vertical passing game. So let's get this started off. You want to go first with your number 10?
Yeah. Well, I was stuck between about five guys. And number 10, I decided to go based on dominating an era, and I went with Lance Allworth from the San Diego Chargers. Lance Allworth basically dominated the 1960s. Even though it was in the AFL, you watch his speed, the way, and he was not like a really big guy, but the guy was always open. The guy was always outrunning everybody. And he put up some really crazy numbers in, like you said, a downfield passing game. He didn't have all the hitches and the slants and the bubble screens and all the ways to really increase your reception total. He was just outrunning guys and outplaying some big corners back when they could really tackle you and just bury you at the line of scrimmage.
Well, I will disagree in the fact that I think you've got him way too low. But we'll get to that later when we get to where I've got him. So,
at least I got him on the list,
10,
right?
Oh, yeah. He's up there a lot higher than 10, though. My number 10 was Steve Largent. I mean, Steve Largent was a guy that, I mean, he was the first man to catch 100 touchdown passes. He was a 7-time Pro Bowler, 819 receptions, 13,000 yards, 100 touchdowns, 177 straight games with a reception. And the big thing about Steve Largent to me, which is probably why he's a little bit lower on the list, is, you know, his quarterbacks were Jim Zorn and Dave Craig. I mean, they were both solid quarterbacks. I mean, Craig, I think, maybe made a Pro Bowl or two, but it's not like having John Elway or Joe Montana throwing to you.
Right. Yeah, Steve
really,
Largent.
Wait a second now. I talked for like 2 minutes, and all you said was right. Come on, man.
Well, I was
going to
get there. I had Steve Largent on my top, on my number 10 with Art Monk, Anquan Boldin, and like three other guys.
Anquan Boldin is at number 10 with ROR is up there with Art Monk and Steve Largent.
Well, I didn't have him
and
on the
Anquan
list.
Bolden
so
plays for
me.
The 49ers. That's
no, Anquan Bolden had a great year with the great career with the Cardinals and the Ravens.
I'll tell you what, I'm
had
hanging up that you put
run.
Ronaldo Nehemiah in the top 10.
Ronaldo Nehemiah. No. No, I did
right.
give consideration to like 500 or 600 guys, and I decided to go with Lance Allworth. But Largent was definitely up there for me just because, you know, he didn't have the magic gloves that all the receivers have now. And you watch some of the catches that Steve Largent made on the sidelines. He was like Chris Carter before Chris Carter.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
he was
a
smaller
and
guy,
bring
but he always find a way to get open.
Come on now, this is a perfect segue. Let me go. My number 9 is Chris Carter. Chris Carter was a guy, 8-time Pro Bowls. Over 1,000 receptions, almost 14,000 yards, 130 touchdowns. I think what was it they always said about him? All he does is catch touchdowns. Yeah. I mean, he ran great routes. I mean, he overcame a lot of adversity at the start of his career, which, I mean, will fit into my criteria, because anybody that has the kind of start where he gets cut by the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, of course, it was Buddy Ryan, and if you weren't a DB or a defensive player, Buddy didn't really care anyways, but they let him go. He goes to Minnesota. He resurrects his career. And then on top of that, from everything you read, he was a great teammate, helped guys like Jake Reed, you know, Randy Moss, all those guys develop into really good wide receivers.
I got Chris Carter much higher. I he was one of my favorite receivers to ever watch. Best hands to me in the history of the NFL. I don't think I ever saw the guy drop a ball. He was outrunning guys in his mid-30s, and he was never really known as a fast receiver. And he would still outrun guys. He could catch the deep ball, but he was just clutch. He'd catch touchdowns in big spots. I mean, he was just almost uncoverable.
Well, you got to use this argument when you get to him, and if you got him higher, I saved my Lance Allworth argument. So who's your number nine?
I got Randy Moss at number nine. To be honest, I didn't want to even put him on the list, just because the guy really took a lot of plays off. I did not see him as the hardest worker. I don't think he was really all that great of a teammate. Just looking at him, the guy made a ton of big plays, no question. A lot of Pro Bowls, a lot of touchdowns, great stats overall. But in this case, it was one of those. He's got stats that are just too hard to ignore, and he did make enough of an impact that I think he belongs on this list.
Yeah, I totally agree. And once again, you just perfectly set it up for me, because he's my number eight guy.
Moss is at eight. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is, seven Pro Bowls. I mean, he was the Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1998. He was the comeback player of the year in 2007, 982 touchdowns, 15,292 yards, and 156 touchdowns. I know what you're saying about the taking the plays off, but there's a lot of plays he didn't take off. I mean, but if without taking those plays off, Randy Moss could be a guy that's sitting at number one.
Yeah.
Because he was a freak. I mean, he could go up and get what's your opinion?
Because
I know we talked about it a little bit with Moss.
Yeah, if he had worked a little bit harder, I think he could have been number one all time. Because physically and his speed, he doesn't really have a lot of peers.
All right, well, you want to go to your number eight?
I have number eight. I got Tim Brown. I'm doing a mismatch between eras and stats and big plays and all of that stuff. And I was kind of looking between Tim Brown and Andre Reed, and I decided to go with Tim Brown. Thought he had a little bit better speed. Tim Brown, basically, a lot of years with mediocre quarterback play, especially in the 90s. Guys always averaging close to 90 receptions a year, always over 1,000 yards, 9 to 10 touchdowns every season. Guy ends up with almost 1,100 receptions, almost 15,000 yards, and 100 touchdowns. Pretty hard to ignore. I think he belongs in the top 10.
Well, who do you got at number 7?
Number 7, I got Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin, another guy. His career was shortened by the injury, but I think he did enough in the 90s to help the Dallas Cowboys win championships. Guys, what did people always say about Michael Irvin? Big players play in big games. He's called the playmaker. He always showed up in the big game. Very, very difficult.
Yeah, I agree.
To cover.
I don't
very
have him
physical.
I don't have him in my top 10, but as we talked before, there's like 20 guys here we could put in our top 10 and
that's
wouldn't bother us.
That's why this is such a hard one, because, I think there's like 20 guys we're trying to fit into 10. It's very difficult to get this right. And you could basically make like four or five different lists, and they'd all be essentially correct.
Well, I mean, luckily mine's right, so I'll go ahead and give you my number 7 if you want.
Go ahead.
Terrell Owens. I mean, Terrell Owens, I think, to
me.
He gets a bad rap. I mean, how can he not be in a top 10, though, with 15,934 yards, second all time, 153 touchdowns, 1,078 receptions, one of only 9 players to catch, you know, 100 passes in like 9 or 10 seasons. And, I mean, the thing about him is this. He had a bad attitude, I guess, but he played for the Niners. He played for the Bengals. I can tell you this, from what I saw of him, I never saw him take any plays off.
No, Terrell Owens did not take plays off. He was a very hard worker. Go back to the 2004 Super Bowl 39. Guy has a broken ankle. After, basically, he's the reason they invented the collar or the what's the name of that rule? Ah, never mind.
The horse collar.
He breaks his ankle near the end of the season. Fights his way back. Comes into the Super Bowl and gets 9 catches for over 100 yards, and they almost win the whole thing largely because of him.
Well, right now, Matt, we've actually got a caller on the line that's probably going to argue with at least one of us.
Outstanding.
Are you there, caller?
I'm here, and I want you to know I had trepidations about calling, but I just do put in a vote, and my vote is for Michael Irving. I didn't hear you guys mention him, or maybe I wasn't listening when you did.
Yeah, actually, Matt just mentioned him, and we're just at the bottom part of the top 10. We're only up to, like, number 7 now. Matt, actually, I think Matt had him at number 7.
Yes, he's my number 7.
Well, who was number 1 and 2, if you don't mind me asking?
Well,
you'll have to listen to the rest of the show.
Okay. Oh, you're going back. Okay. No. I understand.
Yeah, we're going 10 through 1. We're going from the bottom to the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry Rice should have already been mentioned because he's nowhere near. Yeah. And I know you're going to put Randy Moss probably at the 2 position. But
put Moss at like 8 or 9.
Yep,
what?
I got him at 9.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me continue to listen.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You want us to put you on hold so you can listen that way, or?
Well, I'm going to mute myself, and I'll just continue to listen because I'm very curious about that 1 through 5 spot, the 1 through 5
well,
position.
Who do you think should be number
and
1,
you,
Michael Irvin?
No, I'm not going to say, but I don't understand how Randy Moss could be number 9. I just.
You think he should be higher?
Oh, most definitely. And you haven't mentioned, well, let me just, I'm just going to listen. I don't want to say anything else. I'm just going to continue to listen. I don't want to interrupt anything, but if you don't mind, I'd like to comment later. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. We'll put you on hold. We'll come back to you at the end.
Okay, cool.
All right. Number 6. So you got a number 6, Matt.
I've got James Lofton. James Lofton, pure speed. Basically, when he retires, he's got 14,000 yards, 764 receptions, and 75 touchdowns. Like we were talking about, what that might mean today with his speed and the way the rules are today. What numbers could James Lofton have put up when he retired? He was the number one receiver. It took Rice a little bit of time to break his yardage record, but. Yeah, James Lofton didn't play with a great team with the Packers. He had a decent quarterback in Lynn Dickey, and he did put up some more numbers with the Buffalo Bills and Jim Kelly. But the majority of his career was spent in Green Bay, where, well, that wasn't exactly the greatest of teams.
Well, yeah, Lynn Dickey. Lynn Dickey was a good quarterback for a few years. But, yeah, overall, a lot of his career was with a quarterback that wasn't necessarily Jim Kelly. I totally agree with you on number 6 at James Lofton. So if you want, I'll go ahead and give you my number 5. My number 5 is Lance Allworth, which
That's
I know you
fair.
Completely disagree with because you got him at 9. Now, but my thing about Lance Allworth, he was a 7-time All-Pro, held the record for most consecutive games with a reception 96 for a long time, had 7,000-yard receiving seasons consecutively, still holds the record with 200 receiving yards in a game five times, 542 receptions, over 10,000 yards, 85 touchdowns, fastest player to reach 50 receiving touchdowns. I mean, the guy gets overlooked because he played in the AFL. But I don't really think he gets overlooked. You look at most people's top 10, he's in there, and he's usually in the top 5 or 6. So I think he was a great route runner, but he was
remembered more. But yeah, overall, I think you're right. I think he, for the most part, gets remembered. But yeah, he just gets a bad rap because, like you said, he played in the AFL. Lance Allworth, I mean, I don't really think you can go wrong. I mean, I think you'll agree with my number 5.
Who's your number 5?
My number 5 is Don Hutson. I had to get him in the top 5 just because of the way he dominated. He was essentially the Babe Ruth of football. You look at his totals. Now, I realize that any critics of Don Hutson would say, well, no one else was throwing. And, yeah, that's kind of true. But the numbers that he put up, you go through his, I mean, guy had 1,000 yards in 1942. He had 1,200 yards. He had 99 touchdowns to end his career, and he had to play defense. And it took a long time. Steve Largent finally broke his touchdown record in 1989. So his touchdown record stood for like 40 years, almost 45 years. Don Hutson dominated in a way that we really haven't seen, just simply because he was such a pioneer. And he had the speed and the size that he could probably still play today.
Well, I think you made the caller mad because she hung up. But all right, so where are we at? My number 4?
Yeah.
My number 4 is Raymond Berry. I mean, I think he is generally regarded by most people as the finest route runner the NFL's ever seen. The 1958 NFL title game against the Giants, which people say was the greatest game that was ever played, even though it wasn't, kind of boring until the end, he caught 12 balls for 178 yards and a touchdown. For his career, which most of it was in there, 50s, early 60s, 631 receptions, 68 touchdowns, almost 10,000 yards. The stat that really gets me when I looked it up was he had 2 drop passes his entire career. He is on the 50th anniversary NFL team and the 75th anniversary NFL team.
Yeah, Raymond Berry, you go through his career, I think he led the league in receiving from like 58 to 60. And, not that he didn't do anything after that, but, the stat you just brought up is just mind-blowing. 2 drops.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had by far the greatest hands.
2 drops every game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Raymond Berry by far had the best hands. I mean, I remember we had Gary Jeter on about a month ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, when the Packers and Colts would practice together, how, he would show up 2 hours before he was young. His Uncle Bob played for the Green Bay Packers back then with Lombardi. And they said when they'd practice together at training camp, 2 hours beforehand, when the players were just arriving, Raymond Berry was on the field catching passes. And when they left an hour and a half, 2 hours later, Raymond Berry was on the field running routes and catching passes.
Right. Yeah.
So what's your number 4?
My number 4 is Larry Fitzgerald. 6'3", 220. He's got amazing size, really good speed. He's played 11 years, and he's got, over 12,000 yards, and he's closing in on 1,000 catches. Guy makes the Pro Bowl almost every year, and he, like Anquan Boldin, were playing on a team that did not have a very good quarterback until Kurt Warner showed up in, like, 2007. And basically, I think he could get 100 catches with my grandma throwing to him. I mean, the guy just...
Your grandma was pretty stout, though, if I remember. Isn't she like 6'2", 220? Rifle arm, I remember seeing that. I believe Mel Kiper thought she was going to be picked in the first round a few years back.
I'm sure she was on his big board. But, yeah, Larry Fitzgerald, to me, and when it's all said and done, he could be 2 or 1. Depending on how the next few years go. For sure, he's got a shot to me to be you know, past the next two guys on my list.
Yeah. Okay, so Larry Fitzgerald was your number three or your four?
He's my four.
He's your four, but he only has a chance to pass the next two guys on your list. Okay,
well,
I got you. 49er fan.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I don't see how he's going to pass Rice, but you go ahead. Since
okay.
You tell me where
right.
you got your next three.
My number three, and that lady is going to be very upset she hung up because I got Michael Irvin at number three.
Oh.
I think there's a lot. You had him at like what, six or seven?
No. I did that for her sake.
Oh, you did that
for
her sake.
She didn't get to hear you say that.
Oh, okay. Just like a 49er fan, you got to fudge the numbers when stuff gets tight. All right. But I mean, Michael Irvin to me was just a big play. I mean, the guy that I most compare Michael Irvin to, if you use another sport analogy, would be the NBA and James Worthy. I mean, the guy was great during the season, but when it came time in the playoffs, the Super Bowl, you know, James Worthy was the biggest thing on the L.A. Lakers when they were winning them championships. He was the guy
right.
that showed up every night in the championship series and got it done. I think there's a lot to be said for that. His career was cut short, so his numbers aren't what the other guys were. He had the neck injury. But I believe Michael Irvin was a really good wide receiver, and I think he gets overlooked just because he didn't put up gigantic numbers like the other guys.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's why I had to get him in my top 10, just because of all the big plays and all the Super Bowls. But as a Bengal fan, what would you know about big plays and big games?
Well, buddy, I'll tell you what. I know a lot because I've seen a lot of teams make them on us. I bet that I've seen more big plays against my team than you've ever seen your team make.
Ooh, that would be a good show for another time.
No, it's not even close because we give up big plays all the time. And you guys haven't won anything since 1994, right? So that was 20 years ago. So if I'm like 19 years old or 20 years old and I'm a 49er fan, they're just like me. They've never seen their team win anything either.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose we got a little quiet there. All right, I'll tell everybody. Well, right now we got about 2 minutes until we'll go off the air live. You can hear the rest of the show at midnight. It'll be archived, podcast. You can check it on the Grueling Truth Facebook page. You can get it on the Blog Talk Radio. You can follow it on Twitter. I'm at RiverMonster11. Matt, yours is?
At MTHScavage.
Yeah, I always forget that, but now I've been on yours so much to reshare your articles from Sport France that I'll just put at M, and then it'll come up, and I just click your name, so I don't have to worry about it.
Perfect.
And remember, tomorrow night we'll have Todd Stussy previewing his new draft app, and next week, Tuesday night, Donnie Lalonde, former light heavyweight champion of the world, will be on the Grueling Truth Boxing Hour. And Wednesday night, Gerald Riggs from the Atlanta Falcons will be on. And then we will have a show next Thursday night also. Guest is not finalized yet. Could be a daytime guest, too. But, all right, let's go. Who's next, Matt?
I got my number three is Isaac Bruce. Another one of those guys that guy led the league in receiving in 96 with Tony Banks throwing to him. You know, he still got Tony Banks in 97, he got hurt. All of a sudden, in 95, I think he had Chris Miller thrown to him, and he had 119 receptions for 1,781 yards.
Chris Miller was a lot better than Tony Banks, though.
Chris Miller?
He was a lot better than Tony Banks.
You think I said Chris Chandler or Chris Miller?
No, Chris Miller was a lot better than Tony Banks.
Yeah, he was okay for Atlanta a couple of years there, but...
I got a pretty good
Tony
idea.
Banks,
you were a little bit better than Tony Banks.
But, you know, Isaac Bruce basically averaged close to 80 balls for like 1,200 to 1,300 yards in his career. Ends up with, over 1,000 catches, over 15,000 yards, 91 touchdowns. I always think of him making the big play in the Super Bowl that ended up being the winning score. He's just really difficult to cover, outstanding route runner. Did everything right, got good speed, just exactly what I'm looking for in a receiver. I always liked Isaac Bruce.
All right. I'll let you give your number two next.
All right. My number two is Chris Carter. I know you got him a little bit lower on the list. Chris Carter, to me, best hands in the history of the NFL. You know, I mean, no disrespect to Raymond Berry. I've seen Chris Carter making catches that, you know,
wait
on
a second.
The
didn't you say this about somebody else
catches.
Earlier in this? Or no, you, that's
What's
when
that?
I brought up Chris Carter. You brought that up. All right. Go ahead. My
yeah.
Bad. I'm a Bengal fan. I made a mistake towards the end of the game. Don't worry about it.
So, you know, guy was still outrunning guys in his 30s, even though he was largely a possession receiver over the middle. Guy was never afraid to go over the middle. He'd take the big hit, a leader of the team. Guy would mentor players. Just did everything right. To me, there's only one guy better.
Yeah, I disagree. But, all right, my number two is Jerry Rice.
Oh, I was wondering. All right, let's do it. Yeah,
right.
You're going
to
do
I know what
you mean
is Jerry Rice.
One.
I've got nothing bad to say about Jerry Rice. I mean, it's kind of the argument I'm going to give for my one and my two is kind of similar to our top 10 quarterbacks, my Montana Brady debate. And I don't really think one is necessarily better than the other. But Jerry Rice ran great routes, worked his butt off. What was he? 6'1", 6'2"?
He was 6'2".
6'2", what, wait, about 215,
220? 205, 210,
okay.
Somewhere
my
there.
Number one, we'll just get to this, all right? Because
okay.
We already know your number one is going to be Jerry Rice. And I'm not saying you're a homer, but I'm sure that was penciled in every time you did your top 10 without even thinking about it. Huh?
Just like 99% of America. But go ahead.
Not really 99% of America. You know what, though? I mean, if you look at it, the majority of Americans voted for George Bush to be president and Barack Obama, and they were all wrong about that.
Oh, my God. Now we're going here.
Yeah, I mean, they also
you
voted for Richard
your number
Nixon
one.
At one point. Well, we could talk politics. You just gave me a thing that says 99% of America. I mean, like, you know me for a long time.
NFL football fans that live
in
America.
Do you think that 99% of America disagreeing with me would bother me even a little bit?
No, I'm not saying that's the case because
okay. Well,
you're a Bengal.
Well, don't throw that at me, and that's not an argument. An argument is not to say, well, I believe you're wrong because he said so. Okay?
No, majority of opinion doesn't mean anything, but I shouldn't be painted to be crazy that I have Jerry Rice at number one without thinking about it.
Well, this is the thing, because you're going to try to paint me crazy not having Jerry Rice at number one, so I figured I would just attack you first. Okay.
It depends, because we've had two different debates. You've made a case for two different number ones besides Jerry Rice, so I think I know who your number one is, but we've actually had two different discussions about it.
I don't
think
you have a clue who my number one is, because, see, this is the thing. I don't want you to know who my number one is. You know? This would be very boring. This would be very boring if both of us knew each other's top ten and we just sat here and talked for like 28 minutes. And then instead of having archive time, we just go off the air because we got nothing else to talk about because we agreed to everything, put everybody to sleep, and nobody wanted to listen to it.
Perfect.
Now,
I'm going to tell you my three guesses, and I'm going to find out if I'm right or wrong.
Well,
here.
You told me you had two guesses. You said it was between two.
Well, all right, you're right.
See,
I only have two guesses.
If you get it, it's because I handed it to you at like 10 till tonight so you didn't completely crap your pants. Go ahead.
Well,
should tell you
we had
is.
The discussion about Don Hutson, so that's a possible one. We had the discussion about Larry Fitzgerald. That's a possible one. And then I figured you would try to pick one that I wouldn't get for all the reasons that you gave. I'm going to go with Fitzgerald, but who knows? I mean, it could be Chad Johnson for all I know.
Well, that's strike one, strike two, strike three. No, because what I'm giving
here
is what I actually think is number one. All right, my number one receiver is an eye test receiver who also has the stats. Hasn't played very long. He's played about, I think, 9 or 10 years. He's 30 years old. He's 6'5", 236 pounds. I mean, he is the best wide receiver I have ever seen. If I was a defensive back, I would much rather see Jerry Rice across from me than Calvin Johnson.
All right, Calvin Johnson. Perfect.
Calvin Johnson already broke Rice's single-season record for receiving yards with almost 2,000 in a season. Yeah, he holds the record consecutive 100-yard games at 8, consecutive games of 10 or more receptions at 4, tied Michael Irvin's most 100-yard games receiving in a season at 11. Now, his complete stats aren't as good as Jerry Rice, but Jerry Rice played 20 years. I mean, he is the earliest at the age of 30 to do anything he's done. I mean, he set every record for everything there is by the age of 30. He's probably still got at least 6 or 7 good years left. And if you compute, you know, and double the seasons and everything, their numbers are almost the same. He didn't have Joe Montana. He had Matt Stafford. I'm not saying that's a bad thing because Matt Stafford puts up a lot of regular season passing yards. The problem
right.
is this. With Matt Stafford, when you get to the playoffs, he tends to shrink up and disappear. That is not Calvin Johnson's fault. The quarterback argument is always, did they win a Super Bowl? I don't think you can use that with a wide receiver because a wide
no.
receiver has to have a quarterback. And I just think
no,
this.
But I agree
if
with
I'm
you
a
there.
Six, if I'm a normal-size NFL cornerback and I'm 6'1", 200 pounds, I really don't want to see Calvin Johnson anywhere near my side of the field.
But Calvin Johnson can be beat. Calvin Johnson.
Oh, can he? So can Jerry Rice. Everybody can be beat. Everybody has a weakness.
Well, right. But I have not seen Calvin Johnson make really big plays down the stretch of a season when the ball is there. I've seen him drop balls. I have seen Jerry Rice make a ton more game-winning catches. Now, I agree with you that you can't use a Super Bowl as the benchmark. However, when a wide receiver dominates 3 Super Bowls, that's got to count for something.
He dominated 3 Super Bowls. The wide receiver did it
yeah.
all by himself? Okay.
No.
So now what we're going to do is, I mean, I think even bringing the postseason up, when you got Joe Montana compared to Matthew Stafford, is illegitimate. Because you know what? Joe Montana's always going to put the ball where you can catch it. Matthew Stafford, not so much.
Well, that argument can be made for any receiver. You can take
and
a
I guarantee
receiver
you
like
this,
Roy Green
Jerry
from
Rice
the Cardinals and he didn't play with a great quarterback all his career.
I watched the 87 divisional playoff game against Minnesota. Jerry Rice dropped 2 passes. One of them was relatively
yeah.
big when they were behind a couple touchdowns and could have made a play. So I think it's very
yeah,
unfair to sit here and really drop some
pick one of their worst
ever.
Games ever.
Well, you know what, though? That's what you're trying to do to Calvin Johnson. Because any receiver you find, even Chris Carter, I guarantee you, if you look deep enough, you can find a game where he dropped a few balls.
Okay. Now, you said, I think the real test is going to be, you know, what's Calvin, is Calvin Johnson going to be anywhere close to the records that Jerry Rice broke in the early 90s.
No,
I'm not talking about cumulative stats like
okay.
for the whole career. But Jerry Rice broke all the records 8 years into his career. He had all of them.
Yeah, and I just gave you 4 or 5 of them that Calvin Johnson has broken, and he's played for 8 years.
Okay.
I mean, Calvin Johnson broke
Rice's
single-season record. I'm pretty sure I said that. Consecutive 100-yard games, broke that. Consecutive games, 10 or more receptions, broke that. Tied Michael Irvin's most 100-yard games in a season. Now, this is my problem here. You said that he broke. He basically set all the records. But Calvin
yeah.
Johnson just broke one of them that Michael Irvin had.
Calvin Johnson's got 74 touchdowns. By this time
yeah.
in Jerry Rice's career, he was well over 100.
Okay, what's that mean? That means he was on a better team and had more opportunities too.
Well, then, all right. Then this is why. Okay, you're arguing in circles here. You're gonna any
I'm not
time Jerry Rice
circles.
Did something
I'm
better,
using
you're
your
say
argument.
It's 'cause he had Joe Montana.
No, I'm saying this. He played on better teams, which gave him more opportunities to catch balls. Are you telling me that you believe if Calvin Johnson would have played with that 49ers team, not necessarily just Joe Montana, it's also offensive line, everything else? Are you telling me that Calvin Johnson would only have 74 touchdown catches?
I'm not sure about that. Calvin Johnson doesn't always get touchdowns. They don't always go to Calvin Johnson because he's got 3 guys on him. Jerry Rice also
Jerry
faced
Rice
a lot of double
three.
Coverage in the red zone.
Okay, now you're getting
touchdowns.
To my other point. Now you get to my other point. There's no John Taylor on the other side. There's no Roger Craig in the backfield. There's no Tom
Rathbun
playing
plenty
playing
of good players like Reggie Bush and
Reggie,
you can't
oh, wait
other
a second
receivers
now.
Along
wait
inside
a second.
Him.
Has Reggie Bush
nobody.
Had a 1,000-yard season? Reggie Bush only plays half the season. I mean, Joik Bell was their main running back this year. I mean, come on. You got
to
give the guy a break.
I think it's a little
when
early
the only guy
Calvin
there.
Johnson, number one
My
all
point
time.
Is this. My point is not the fact.
He
well,
he
I can tell you this. He's 6'5". 6'5",
yeah,
236, 4'3", 40. Huh?
Physically, he definitely outclasses Rice. So just pure physical tools.
Yeah. Well, pure physical tools has a lot to do. That's why they put three guys on him, that and there's nobody else on the field to go get the ball half the time. He had a little bit more help this year. But that's also what I'm saying. When you are on a team that is not as good, you're going to get triple and double teams all the time. When you're on a team where you've got John Taylor on the other side, you got Roger Craig running out of the backfield catching passes, you get a lot more single coverage. You get a lot better numbers. This is not saying – well, it kind of is saying it's because of the teams they were on, but it's true. I mean, if you're getting double and triple teams, you're also going
to
drop a few balls. And you know what? I never saw Jerry Rice go up in too many – I never saw Rice go up over top two or three receivers and pull the ball away from them.
I have. I've seen almost every game the guy played. He's gone. He's
almost every game
a lot.
He played?
No, not
really?
Every game he
triple
played.
Covered?
But not triple covered, not necessarily all the
well,
time,
see,
not double covered all the time, but he faced a lot of double coverage. And I'd
okay.
also argue
so,
that the corners that he played against were better. He had to play
the corners that Rice played against were better? That, no way.
Yeah,
I know this. Rice didn't have much luck
Rod
with Deion
Sanders.
Deion Sanders? Yeah.
He played against
Deion
Rod Woodson.
Sanders shut him down. Huh?
Deion Sanders did get the best of him a number of times. He's the only he's the only corner
okay.
I've ever seen.
Who got the best of Calvin Johnson?
He never had to play Deion Sanders.
He played Darrell Revis.
The greatest might have been the greatest corner that ever lived.
Darrell Green's the greatest corner ever lived. You're talking about Deion Sanders, right? I mean,
he had
I'm
to play
sorry,
against
Darryl
Green, too, and he beat him.
Today, corners are much bigger, much more physical. They're faster. They're better trained. You know? There's a lot more science into the training now outside of just steroids. But you're playing against bigger, quicker, faster guys.
Yeah, but none of them exist
you know,
in the NFC
there's
North.
There's a big difference between playing a 6-foot corner. Yeah, but you don't just play the NFC North. And like I said, did Revis shut him down last time they played? I mean, he held him down a little bit, but he still had 8 catches for around 80 yards and a touchdown. You know, I don't remember Jerry Rice too often getting the best of Deion Sanders.
Not Deion Sanders. He did beat up Rod Woodson. He beat Darryl Green.
Okay, now tell me the guy that gets the best of Calvin Johnson.
I have not seen Richard Sherman play him yet. As we will this year.
They have played.
I just think it's a little early to put Calvin Johnson number one. Now, he could end up number one. I just think it's a little early.
Well, if you look at him, he's 30 years old. He's played 8 years. That's enough to go on.
Now comes the part that's real hard, longevity.
Oh, I thought you meant the part where we got to wrap it up because we only got like a minute and a half left.
Yeah, you better wrap it up.
Yeah, you're losing. Everybody agrees that I won because I just had 5 people on Twitter say you're absolutely right, Coach. And a couple people said that Matt guy's nuts. But that's the actual tweets
that's
I
cool.
got, too. You know I would not lie about that.
Probably called all
but
your
hey,
friends
we're about out of
get
time.
Them listening and tweet me.
Hey,
make me sound right.
Well, this was fun, actually. But tomorrow night, Todd
I'm glad you picked
Stussy.
A different guy.
Tomorrow, Todd Stussy talking about his draft app. He'll also do a little preview of the NFL draft. I want to thank my co-host, Matt Andrew Scavage.
Always
You're
a good time, Mike.
Here, Matt. But, all right, we will see you guys tomorrow night, 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern time with Todd Stussy and his draft app. remember, if you get a chance, get on Facebook, find the Grueling Truth Facebook page, like it, follow us there. All the shows will be downloaded there. Yeah, we're done.